enjoy that. That's good. I miss Fifth Ward so much. Good evening, Fifth Ward.
Amen.
Good evening. It's just a blessing to be able to come back and to worship God together. I'm always reminded of the words that David said in Psalms 27, verse number 4. He said, "The one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David wanted to be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing when you want to be here. Amen. When you look forward to coming to worship with the saints. Amen. And I want to thank the leadership. I want to thank Brother Gary, the elders and all of you just for allowing me to come back and preach a word. Amen. And we want to thank all those that are visiting with us today. I see the North Fort Bend Church of Christ has come out and support, and all those who are visiting with us today, you truly are honored guests. And we hope, trust, and pray that you hear a word that will touch your heart in such a way that make you want to know more about what God expects from us. And we hope, trust, and pray that you have a desire to want to live up to those expectations. And there's an expectation of growth. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he said, "But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." It's an expectation of growth. He didn't just save us to sit here and not grow. He's expecting to grow, to become better today than we were yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
So it's just good that we come together. Thank the brother for reading the word. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read. I remember Billy Washington, he said, "I shan't be long." I shan't. But does that mean I'm going to go long when you say that? I shan't be long. Oh, you got a timer? I thought guest speakers. I'm like a guest speaker. Okay. I shan't be long. I'm going to read Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm going to read verse 19 through 22. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 19 through 22. Say amen if you're there.
Amen.
"Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them, and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song should testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imaginations, which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear." Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. The title of the message today is A Consecrated Song. A consecrated song, a song that's set apart for a divine purpose. God tells Moses, he instructs Moses to write this song for the children of Israel, but it's going to serve his purpose. Amen. Some songs can be entertaining, but they're not to entertain us. God didn't have Moses write the song to entertain the children of Israel. I have songs that I like, songs that entertain me, but the songs have a purpose for them. God does everything for a purpose. He says, write it. It's going to testify against the children of Israel. It's going to show them how good God is in spite of their wickedness. God is so good. It's going to testify how good God is to us despite our disobedience. We serve a good God. Amen. And so he instructs Moses now. He says, write this song and teach it to him. And Moses did that. He did what he was instructed to do. But we also have some instructions. Amen. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he said, "But let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." We have instructions now to sing these songs to one another. It's a purpose to teach us, to show us God's goodness and his mercy, to guide us into his wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
I look forward when I'm able to come with the saint and sing the song with the saints.
Yeah.
We shouldn't just come right before Brother Gary's about to stand up and preach and miss all the other. Y'all all right? Y'all miss me? Because I miss y'all. Amen. I miss you. We shouldn't be coming right when he's about to stand up and preach and miss all the songs at the beginning. Amen. The songs are part of the worship service, and they're for a purpose. Amen? Amen. It's for us to teach and learn. It's going to help us to walk in his ways and admonish us. So we have to follow the instructions for us. So we come here together and we sing these songs, amen? And it's for a purpose, for God's purpose. Listen what Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 19. It says, now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel, and put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. It was a purpose for the song, and the song is going to talk about the goodness of God. Write this point number one. Don't stop teaching and singing about the goodness of God. We need to teach and sing how good God is to us. Amen. When people come in here, they ought to be able to hear. They singing about how good God is. Singing the songs. The kids ought to be able to hear. They ought to hear us. Sometimes we go in here, the kids sing, but they should hear the adults sing when they come in. Hear everybody lifting up their voice and singing about how good God has been. Has God been good to you? I remember the song, God Has Smiled on Me. He has set me free. He's been good to me. Y'all don't want me to start singing up here. Don't start singing a solo up here. But shouldn't we sing that? Shouldn't they hear us singing that? God has been good to me. Listen what the Bible says in Psalm 145, verse number 4. Psalm 145, verse number 4. He said, one generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. He said, I will speak of thy glorious honor, of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. I'm going to speak about this. We're going to sing about this. And then he said to the next generation, they ought to hear us singing about how good God is. The next generation, when they come in out here, we ought to proclaim it and sing it aloud and sing these songs aloud, how good God's been to us, despite of how we've been acting and been behaving. Amen. So because if we don't, if we fail to do this, listen to this in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Judges 2 and 10. The Bible says, and also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he has done for Israel. How does that happen? How did they didn't even know the Lord, but they didn't even know what he did for it. They wasn't singing and letting them know, let me tell you what he has done for me. And so we don't want to have a lost generation on our watch. Amen. So we want to sing to them and let them know how good God has been to us. It's a purpose for the songs. We have consecrated songs. God's songs are set up. They're not worldly songs. They're for us. They're set aside for a divine purpose to teach us and to admonish us and to guide us into his wisdom. We ought to be teaching them how good God is to us so we don't have a lost generation who don't know God and don't know what he has done for us. Amen. Listen what he said. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse number 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and have waxed fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles shall befall them, that this song shall be testify against them as a witness. For it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of thy seed, their seed. For I know their imaginations which they go about, even now before I have brought them into the land which I swear. God knows what we're going to do before we do it. We might be surprised at some of the things. You know, sometimes I'm surprised at some of the things I say. I can't believe I said that. But God is not surprised. You know, we may be surprised. God already know what you're going to do before you do it. He knew. He said, let's sing, write this song, teach it to him. Because I know before he even blessed them and brought them in there, he already know what they was going to do to it. But he blessed them in spite of it. He knows what we're going to do. Write this down. When we mess up, we should fess up to the Lord. He already knows what you're going to do. Right. But some of us, we sit back in this guilt and this shame and we don't want to come forward, you know, and we let that hold us there. And listen, all we have to do is just come and say, I'm sorry. Come to the Lord and say, I'm sorry. He already knew we was going to mess up. It's not a surprise to him. But when we mess up, we should fess up and come back to him. Yeah. I watch a lot of sports and I see some of these athletes and they do all kind of trouble, all kind of, and then they start blaming the coach and the other teammates and their girlfriend and start blaming everybody but themselves. Why don't we just admit when we did wrong? Just admit and did wrong. Listen what he said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He said, if my people who are called by my name should humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, he said, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal the land. He said he'll forgive them. All they got to do is humble themselves and come back and just ask for forgiveness. When we mess up, just fess up. Just come. We serve a good God. Amen. It's a song that says softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling me. Old sinners, come home. He's patiently waiting. Let's sing these songs to the youth. Let's sing these. Let them hear us sing these songs so they'll know when they mess up, they can come back. It's a purpose in these songs. They're consecrated songs and it's a purpose in them. Sing the song so they'll know that they can come back. We serve a God where he can come back. When I mess up, I can just fess up and ask for forgiveness and come back. He said in 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Tell the young people you can come back home. If you sitting there, you've been gone for a while and you've done some things that you couldn't even imagine that you've done, God already knew you was going to do them. Just come on back home. Just come, just fess up. Come on back to God. Just confess your sins to God and say, I want to come back home. These are the songs we should be singing to. It's purpose in the songs. It's not just for entertainment, although they can entertain. Sometimes we get lost in the music and the performance and miss the purpose of the song. God told Moses it was a purpose for the song. Write the song. The purpose is to testify to the children of Israel. Amen? Amen. Listen to this. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 22. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to children of Israel. Write this down. Write this down. Let us not procrastinate with the work of the Lord. You know what? You put the work, the Lord's work first. Watch what he do for you. I'm telling you what I know, amen? You just put God's work first in your life. And why? He did it the same day. Now, when I was reading this and studying this, God didn't tell Moses when to write it. And some, I can hear some of us saying that. Well, Brother Vince, he didn't say when to write it. I can write it. But look at his attitude. Look at Moses. He's the same day he wrote it. If you ask the teacher class, start preparing that lesson right away. If you ask a song lead, start getting them songs out. Put God's work first. Watch how he bless you. I'm telling you what I know. If you start putting the business of the kingdom first, God will bless you in a mighty way. But sometimes we push it off to the side and it's the last, we do everything else. And then at the last minute, we want to throw it together. Amen. Listen what God, Jesus said, John chapter 9, verse 4. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night coming when no man can work. We can't keep putting stuff off till tomorrow. Tomorrow may not be promised to you. Amen. James said, come ye now who to say that today or tomorrow we'll go in such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. They was making plans. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. He said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appear for a little time and vanish away. He said, for that we ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. Amen. Don't push the Lord's work off till tomorrow. Yeah. Don't do it. He went that same day and wrote the song. Right. Amen? Amen. Look at the Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. It's the same thing. It's just an understanding. It's a mindset that we don't want to waste time. We don't want to waste any time. We want to be wise with our time, but we definitely don't want to waste time with the work of the Lord. Amen? Amen. With the work of the Lord, we know these are consecrated songs. They're for a divine purpose. Amen. Amen. We want to sing them. We want to sing them to the next generation so we don't have a lost generation on our watch. We don't want to procrastinate with the word of God. Amen. Amen. And we take it seriously. It seemed like Moses took what God asked him to do seriously. Amen. Should we take it seriously? Amen. He said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, he said, let the words of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Look, should we take that seriously? Let's look forward to coming together. Singing these consecrated songs set aside for divine purpose. Amen. So that we can glorify God. Amen. The way he would have us to glorify him. If you're here today and you have not yet decided to put Christ on in baptism, to confess Christ, Christ offers us a peace that this world cannot offer us. Amen. He said to his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world give it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What he's saying here is the world does not have this type of peace to offer you. This type of peace only comes from Jesus. You know, we talk about eternal salvation, and he offers us eternal salvation, but he also offers us peace, right? We can have peace right here with Jesus. Amen. He died on the cross for our sins, the death, burial, and resurrection, not so that we can walk miserably and be frustrated. We can have peace right here, amen, through him. So you come by hearing by the word, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You notice it doesn't say faith come by feeling. Because people say, "Well, I feel, Brother Vincent, I just don't feel like God is going to let all these people go to hell." But you know what? I can't base my soul salvation on how people feel. I got to base it on the word of God. He says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then we got to believe what we heard. John chapter 20, verse number 30. He said, "Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." We got to believe what we read. Then we got to be willing to repent. 2 Peter chapter 3 and 9. "For the Lord is not slacking concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance." He's patient with us. And we ought to be patient with one another. He's patient with us. Amen. That he want all to come to repent. Then we got to be willing to confess him. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And whosoever shall deny me before man, him will I deny before my Father." We got to be willing to open up our mouth and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. And then we got to be baptized for the remission of our sin. Just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2 and 38. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Amen. And then we want to remain faithful unto death. Amen. Revelations chapter 2 and 10. He said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life." It's a message of loyalty. No matter what happens, no matter what we go to, I'm going to stay loyal and I'm going to stay with God. Amen. Amen. Regardless what happens, just stay loyal. If you're here today and you want to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we'll baptize you tonight for the remission of sin. Or if you just need prayer, you can come down and get prayers from one of the brothers while together we stand and sing. All right.